Let's talk about animals for a moment. Animals have this innate capacity, this capability to offer you unconditional space just to be. They do not discriminate like we humans do. They do not discriminate on the basis of race, culture, caste, creed, and stuff like that, shitty stuff like that. They just accept you as you are, which is why a part of me thinks we don't deserve them because they have to offer what we don't. They understand you without your need to express yourself in words. They just get what you are going through and they offer that support without asking. Now, that is a great thing. I would say that is a blessing from God, from universe, from whatever it is that you believe in to us human beings. But a narcissist, as monstrous as they are, they don't even leave these poor creatures alone. They weaponize this capability of animals to offer unconditional support and abuse them and escape with their abuse. That is why it is so sad, and that's why I'm going to talk about this subject, this topic today. Hi, I am Danish, a narcissistic abuse recovery professional. In today's episode, we're going to talk about how a narcissist treats pets, animals in general, and pets to be specific, how their relationship looks like with them, what do they do to your pets and to their pets, why do they do it, and how does that collectively impact you as a victim, as a survivor of their abuse? If that sounds interesting and you are eager to dive in with me, please make sure to subscribe by pressing the subscribe button and push the bell icon to stay updated, because your subscription to the channel helps spread the awareness about narcissistic abuse. Let's get started with the basic understanding. I'll not be going deeper into describing how a narcissist's personality works, because at this point I am assuming you already know that stuff, so I'll not be covering a lot of it, just one aspect. When we talk about narcissism, what is our focus? What are we talking about? Basically, we're talking about an individual who has turned into a parasite and preys on others, who is a predator, uses other people's other creatures' weaknesses against them to inflate their ego, stroke their ego, feel entitled, expand their grandiosity, and think they're on top of the world. They're above everything else and everyone else. This is what these poor creatures get victimized by. When a narcissist interacts with animals, it's always, always, always pervasive for the animal in one of the other ways. Now, there are two possibilities here when it comes to the relationship between the narcissist and a pet. Two things can possibly happen. One, the narcissist can create a bond with this animal that looks nauseating. I mean, from the narcissist side, animal is an animal. It's a sentient being. It offers what it has to offer. But the narcissist misuses that and weaponizes it. It creates a bond that is so immature, that it's non-human, that doesn't make sense. It lacks the care, the affection, the concern, and the love from the narcissist side. The narcissist may pretend to adore the pet, may pretend to put the pet, a dog, a cat, or whatever it is, on the pedestal only for one reason, and that is the pet enables their personality. The pet gives them a lot of adoration, seeks them, chases them, runs after them, listens to their commands, obeys, conforms, does everything that a perfect and an ideal supply would do, that a narcissist would expect from an ideal supply. Because a pet behaves exactly the way its owner demands. The picture of the animal that comes to my mind while we're talking about these dynamics is a dog. You can simply think of a dog, think of all the capabilities that a dog has, all the things that a dog has to offer, and how a narcissist can use that. Where it gets painful is when the pet deviates from the set path. Because it's an animal, it doesn't know when to do what. Definitely, there are going to be times the pet would tear up something, break something, pee and poop at places they're not supposed to, because after all, they're a pet. They're not like a human being. They don't know. They don't have that capacity. Yes, they can be trained, but mishaps happen. As humans are so defected, we make mistakes. So why not have that consideration for animals? But no, a narcissist doesn't. The moment this pet deviates from the set path, unfortunately, they are punished. It is punished, and it's brutally punished. There can be screaming, there can be yelling, there can be physical abuse, there can be withdrawal, there can be isolation, they can withhold food, they can withhold water. And I know of so many cases where this has happened. They can feed them rotten food. They can put them in a cage and the pet would be crying. The dog would be crying. The cat would be crying. They would want just that 1% of the freedom they had. But no, the narcissist is nasty, punishes them, tortures them. And that shows they don't have a soul. That's why I say they don't have a soul. How can you not have empathy for a poor creature who needs it, who seeks it? Why do you intentionally punish it just because it didn't do what you wanted it to do? How would it do when it doesn't have that capacity? That's why I say it's very immature. So the narcissist wants the chase, but of course doesn't want the difficulties, the issues that you face when you have a pet. When you get a pet, you have to be prepared for that. But no, a narcissist is quite tunneled in their perception, in their views, because they're quite rigid and they expect this pet, this dog, this cat to behave a certain way. And the moment they don't, they're devalued and probably discarded as well. They might even put them down. They might send them to a shelter. Who knows? That is all possible. So that is one possibility. The other possibility is when it is not their own pet, they hate animals, it's your pet. You step into a relationship with them and you bring in a cat with you or a dog with you. Now, this is something that a human being, any human being who has empathy can respect, even if they don't agree with it, even if they don't like it, they can, because in a relationship, what is the biggest driver? What keeps us going? Compromise. We have to compromise. If you compromise a little bit, they have to compromise a little as well. So you both can go along. But no, that doesn't happen. Unfortunately, and this is so, so painful to say, and this is soul shattering, they abuse your pet and they brutally do so. There can be physical abuse. There can be torture. They would pressure you, abuse you, and want you to put this pet in the shelter because they're having an issue. They're having an allergy attack out of nowhere. They are having this problem and that problem, and this pet is not behaving correctly. And it's exactly like you, and you are an improper human being for having a dog, and you cannot have a cat. Cats are wild and cats are narcissistic. I mean, think of all the reasons. Think of all the things they can say and do. And of course, all of that would happen. So ultimately, this poor cat, either I have heard of cases, and let me know if this is what you have experienced as well. I have heard of cases where the cat or the dog was killed by the narcissist, was killed, you know, or the person whose pet it was, they were forced to put the pet in a shelter or put it down because they were left no other option. So that is very painful. These are the two possibilities. But just understand that they never have a connection with anything that is outside of them. They can never experience the empathy that the animal has to offer. One more aspect that I get reminded of while talking about this is the jealousy. They feel extremely jealous when this pet approaches you, adores you, hugs you, gives you licks, kisses, all of those things that the cute things these sentient beings, these creatures do. And what happens? They get jealous, and out of their jealousy, out of their immaturity, they harm the pet. They stop you from holding the pet. They stop your time with the pet. They keep the pet maybe out of the house, even if it is cold. They don't care. They want to punish it because how dare the dog take the attention from you when all of it is theirs? How could you have a dog? How could you attend the dog? How could you abandon them for the pet? These are the things that I get to hear from my clients, and it's awful. It's awful, to say at least. Have you experienced this? I would like to know about your experiences. Please drop them in comments below and let me know what it has been like for you. I'm reminded of many times I personally, unfortunately, happened to experience this, but I'll share one of those experiences. So I have a cat, and by the way, all of you have been seeing some glimpses of my cats here and there, which I really enjoy their presence. So I have a cat called Bella, and when I got her, back then at that time, I hadn't fully left my home. I hadn't fully left my parents. Both of them are, by the way, narcissists of different kinds. So it is impossible to keep the cat, you know, under surveillance and supervision all the time, because it's a cat. It's going to jump, it's going to play, it's going to go away, it's going to run. You know, it was a big house, so sometimes I would be busy doing something and then she would be playing downstairs or somewhere. So one fine day, after doing a couple of sessions, I came down, and what I saw broke my heart, because I saw that she was limping. When she runs and jumps and she has that powerful, capability. She's, you know, an energy bubble. She just bursts all the time, but she never limps because she knows how to walk, how to jump. She knows the territory. And at that moment, I realized something wrong has happened. And ultimately, another family member told me that my father had thrown something heavy at her and it hit her leg. And that is like when I lost it. And when I lost it. And he used to do that a lot with my previous cats, with my chickens. I mean, there was so much abuse these beings had to go through, unfortunately. And then indirectly, I had to go through because I saw them in pain and I was a child and I couldn't do anything about it. So I was in pain as well. I was suffering with them. He would throw rocks, he would throw sandals, anything that would come in his hand when he would see my cat. So I had to keep her, another cat I'm referring to, I'm talking about here, when I was a child. So I had to keep her outside of the house. I could occasionally see her and I had to secretly feed her. This is how cruel and monstrous these people are. This is why I do not agree with the label of it being a disorder. No, I don't think it is a disorder. I see it as a pure manifestation and an incarnation of evil, nothing else. So in a nutshell, these people abuse pets, animals heavily and in ways that are beyond unacceptable. They use them for supply. They target them if they come in their way, and that is how it works for them. They never have a healthy relationship with any pet. By the way, before I leave, so let me show you a glimpse of my cat. His name is Ben. He has a history, a very traumatic history. Some other day I'll share definitely with you. But that was it for today's episode. I really, really enjoyed today's talk. I'll talk with you very soon. Until then, let's